Good morning, good morning. You may be seated. And Pastor Taylor has a few more messages. Let's welcome Pastor Taylor first, and before I get into it.
We have a couple in the church that's been here for I don't know how long. Long time. And they left us last year, and they came back this year for a quick visit. I'd like to ask everyone to stand and welcome Jack and Bonnie back to us. And man. Please see that. Jack was saying if you want to have a new weight program, move to Haiti. I saw Jack on Wednesday. I looked and I said, oh my goodness, what happened to you? But I'd like for him to take out just a few moments and just share with us.
Amen. It's really good to be here. Heather, I have to disagree with you. Air conditioning is fabulous. I love it. We don't get it down there. And these seats are awesome. You know, it's not a bench where you have six, seven people where there should only be five. So it's very comfortable here. But first of all, I want to say greetings from Pastor Jacques and Dee and the church in Bon Repos. They want to say that they love you. And if anybody can come down and give them a visit, they'd love to see you. So you're welcome to Haiti anytime. You know, okay, come on down, seriously. Yeah, we have a spare bedroom, you know, so. Holly, I have to agree with you. That spirit that we have is alive no matter where you go. The language may be different. And believe me, when I'm sitting in service, most of the time I don't understand what's going on with the music because I don't understand the words, but I understand the spirit. And we're those people that you have in the back that are being interpreted to. So as we learn the language, it helps, but that spirit is the same no matter where you go. And it's good to be home. It's good to be able to be in a service where I can understand everything that's going on every second, you know. But when we're there, we're still, I mean, they have welcomed us. They have brought us into the fold there, and I love them all. They're great people. They're very great people. They're very loving people, just like we have here. And there's times when I miss it here. Believe me, there's times when I miss it here. They make it a little bit easier not to miss you quite so much. So, but I just want to say to each and every one of you, Bonje Banu, which is Haitian Creole for God bless you.
Amen.
I also am quite glad to be here to be able to see everybody. One of the things that I have learned since I've been to Haiti, one of the sisters asked me Wednesday night, you know, what's the one thing you appreciate the most in Haiti? I think it's the non-distractions. If I can encourage you to do anything, put aside the distractions of this world. You know, put aside, we don't have electricity, so we don't have TVs going. We don't have radios going all the time. We work off solar power when we have it. You know, put those distractions aside and just really let God deal with you in your life. I have learned so much more. My prayer life is so much stronger since I've gone there. And I've just learned to rely on God. And in the times when I get so homesick that I don't know what to do, I know that I can turn to God in prayer, and he's going to give me that peace that I need. And you just have to learn to let God take that control. And for me, that was the biggest thing I think I learned, was just to give that control to God, put everything aside, and I don't miss it anymore. I don't miss the TV. I don't miss running to the mall every time I think I need something. We live 13 miles outside of Port-au-Prince, which you think, oh, that's not very far. But for us to travel 13 miles into Port-au-Prince can take us anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half to travel 13 miles, especially if you travel on a Monday or a Friday, which is market day, when you're fighting all the traffic in. And I don't miss it. You learn to shop when you're in town, and you just don't run out to the market every time you think of something you need. You have to think ahead. And I'm just thankful to be here and just to feel the Spirit of God and to see my brothers and sisters.
Amen. 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 I say good morning to everyone once again. And I welcome any visitors we may have. For the last 3 weeks, we've been going over some messages, and I told everyone they are connected. They are not single messages. First Sunday, we examine ourselves. We went over the letters Jesus wrote to the churches, and we asked ourselves which one we felt closer to, and the one we did not want to be. We went over it was the church called Dead Church. And we came back the next time. We saw that even the dead church, Jesus gave them opportunity, room to revive. With God, there is not a dead end. God can do anything. So he still gave us a chance to make it right. And we went back the third Sunday. We talked about why he cares so much that he would want us to come back. He wants us to awake. And then we saw he said that because he wants us to strengthen the weak. Because not if there are some who are dying but not dead yet. And then one of the main scripture was Peter. He told Peter, Satan is trying to get you, sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. And he told Peter, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. And he asked Peter whether Peter loved him or not. And every time Peter said yes, he told Peter, feed my sheep. So this morning, we're going to see who are to feed the sheep. Who do the feeding? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. And my conclusion, the elders are to feed the sheep, and we're going to have a better understanding who the elders are, and that's my message. I have a young fellow in my house. This morning we asked him what he wanted for breakfast. He said, marshmallow, is that? Marshmallow? Somebody say what it is? What? Okay, I said right. And we all laugh. But his friend doesn't see anything wrong with that. What's wrong with having that for breakfast? So there must be somebody else, right, who says, no, it's not good for breakfast. So that's what happened. In having the flock, you cannot just, everybody can feed, but there must be somebody who knows what to feed, when to feed, and how to feed, right? So though anybody can feed and should be able to feed, but not everybody are called to feed. According to the Bible, and I'll take this one scripture, in Acts chapter 20, verses 17 to 28, the elders are given the charge to feed the flock. In the context, you can read it. It's Paul wanting to be in Jerusalem for Pentecost. He didn't really take time to go into Ephesus. So So he sent a messenger to call the elders to come so he can spend time with them. So this is what we're reading. When he sent to Ephesus, he called the elders. He called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shewed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace, of the grace of God." Verse 25. "And now, behold, I know ye all, that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourself and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed," which is to shepherd, "the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity you've given us to be taught by your Holy Spirit. And right now we're asking you, Lord, to prepare the hearts of your people and clean your servant through whom you tend to speak this morning, and let he speak only what you will lead him to, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A scripture we know about when it's come to feeding, taking care of the church is from Ephesians 4, 11 to 16, where it says Jesus, of course, gave gift to the church when he ascended. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come, etc., etc. So this is obviously Paul who wrote that also. So he said the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and he gave some pastors and teachers. And I hope you know or you will agree, pastors and teachers, they are not two, it's one. It's the pastors, teachers, okay? So that's what given to the church for the edifying, the perfecting of the saints. But when we go to pastors, teachers, let's make it clear, like pastors are shepherds, okay? That's what the word is. Shepherds, they are there to feed and take care of, to nurture, to nourish, okay? But there isn't anywhere in the Bible one the noun is used. You don't see anywhere where they call Pastor Paul or Pastor Peter, Pastor Timothy. It doesn't work like that. But they are called two pastor. They are called two pastor, but they are not called pastors. Jesus is the only one who is called pastor. The only one. The only one, he is the pastor. Okay? Now, the interesting thing here is when we go back to Acts chapter 20, Paul called the elders, and then he said, God had made them overseers, the bishops. He made them overseers. He made the elders overseers. He didn't make the prophets overseers, didn't make the apostles overseers, didn't make the evangelists overseers. He said he put the elders, and elders, they are the word presbyteros, but they are the overseers, which are bishops, which are shepherds. They are the one responsible. That is their charge. And I'll make that clear, but let me find an illustration. If I ask you, what is a Jeep? What's your answer? What's a Jeep? J-E-E-P. Is it any car like a Toyota, a Nissan, and a SUV? So, okay, is any SUV is a Jeep? Okay. So if you say Jeep, what do people have in mind? Four-wheel drive, what? Military vehicle. Okay. So that's why it is so. So a Toyota, a 4Runner, for example, should be a Jeep then. Okay, okay. The reason why I say that is that if a Haitian asks you for a Jeep, they don't have J-E-E-P in mind. If they say, oh, Pastor Ulysses, can you send me a Jeep? I know they either want a Toyota, a Nissan or a Honda, but not Jeep. They don't like Jeep. So just to show you, so where we come with that, like let's say again, a frigidaire. What is a frigidaire? It's a refrigerator. But in Haiti, they ask for a frigidaire. And you have to, they don't even know Frigidaire, but then in the refrigerator. But Frigidaire, where that comes from, I don't know. I grew up calling every refrigerator Frigidaire. I grew up calling every SUV a Jeep, and I still do. But regardless of where it comes from, do you think it's right when I see a Toyota, Land Cruiser, or whatever, I say, hey, you have a Jeep? Does it still make sense? Because now I understand what Jeep is and what they make and then what, so this is the way it is. So, and I still say it. We're still talking. When somebody, when I'm talking to Haitian, they say that I understand. And they understand me, but me, I cannot say it. I know better. So this is one thing that we need to be clear on. When you call me Pastor Ulysses, you know what you mean. When you call a bishop, you know what you mean. Usually when you say a bishop, we see a man in charge of many pastors or different churches. Like I am called a bishop of Haiti. That's when I have churches in different departments of Haiti. So I'm the bishop and I'm on top of all the other pastors. And when you say pastor, usually you see a pastor is under the bishop, and he, of course, he has the elders working for them. Isn't that right, what we have in mind? And that's what we grew up with. And the elders, normally, it's like Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So the elders are the Holy Ghost working for everyone. That's the mindset. We have to make this clear because church is church, business is business, leadership in church is different, spiritual leadership is different than spiritual leadership in any other business. Different. A pastor or a bishop isn't like a CEO of the organization. And remember, we are called, the elders or the pastors or the bishop, they are called to feed the sheep of God. But in business world, they are making money. It's business. If like they love me at work as much as I can work hard and make profit for the company. But they don't really care for me. If they care for me, it's for their benefit. But in church, we care for people because we love them and we want their soul, and we go overboard. Our shepherd gave his life for us, right? You think a CEO will die for you? So we need to make that clear because church is church and business is business, okay? So don't take it in mind like you say, you have the CEO, you have this, that. No. It doesn't work like that in church. So in Matthew 20:20-28, Jesus made that clear. Then came the mother of two sons, and she came desiring that Jesus in his kingdom put one son in his left and the other son in his right. And you know what kind of trouble this raised, because here we go, there were 12, and then two want to be left and right. What do you have left now? You want all the position. So in verse 25, Jesus called them unto him, all disciples, and he said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority over them. That's just the way it is in the world. But Jesus said, among us it shall not be so. Among us, that's not the way it is. That's not the way it is. One is on in top of another. That's not the way it works. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So when we are in position, we are not in position to dominate, to have dominion. We are in position to serve. We are actually servant, real servant. So, elder, overseer, when how Paul put it, and pastors, which are shepherd, they all refer to the same office. Same office. We can continue to say it, but we have to have the understanding. It's the same office. Overseers and pastors are not distinct from elders. The term is simply different, way to identify the same person. Same thing. So we have the prophets, the apostles, the prophets, and we have the evangelists. That's another discussion if you want to discuss, but when you see the pastors, they are the one to call to feed the sheep. And the pastors, the bishops, the elders, they are one. And now I'm going to give you scriptures to prove that. First of all, qualification. Go over the qualifications. 1 Timothy 3, 1-7, you mark them down. We're not going to read them. And Titus 1, 5, 9, they have same qualification. Bishop and elders. And when we go to 1 Peter 5, 1-2, we're going to read that. It brings all three terms together as well. Let me read that for you. It says, therefore, that's Peter talking, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the suffering of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. He exhort the elders. And he says, he told them, shepherd the flock that is among you. So he called them elders, and he asked them to shepherd, to pastor the sheep. Elders are to pastor the sheep. The flock among you exercising oversight, episcopal. Not only they are elders, and he asks them to shepherd, to pastor, and he asks them to oversight. They are bishops. Not under compulsions, but voluntarily according to the will of God. The elders... he was an apostle, obviously, but he says he also was an elder. He was an elder. He asked them to shepherd the flock, and the same word, to oversight. Now, the different term then indicate various future in ministry, but not varying level of authority. They were all elders, all pastors, and all bishops. But the difference is the job they have. Like in the qualification, it says you must be apt to teach, but you have teaching elders. You have elders, their main gift is teaching. Their main gift is teaching, and they do all the teaching, so they are known to be the teaching elders. And you find some elders, they are good in administering. They are good in taking care of, get things taken care of, but they still must be able to teach. They are apt to teach. So the bishop is more in administration type thing. And the elders, what we'll call the elders, which is still we all elders, this comes from, and I think it's not Haitian thing, the older you get, people think you're wiser. And it still works. Like if you have gray hair, that's it. Well, there is some wisdom there. So that's where the elder come. It's the same word. So what happened is the elder's job in that sense, the very is a type, dimension of service, is that when you have to counseling and the word of wisdom, whatever, usually you find those elders in the church will do that. So all these different dimensions in features in ministry, you have all together called the bishops, the elders, the pastors, they're all one, all the same. But the important thing is not the level of authority. And there is always a plurality in eldership. Always. Always in the New Testament. Each local body of believers is shepherded by a plurality of God-ordained elders. All of them. There is not one that you will see has one pastor. They all have a plurality of God-ordained elder. To put it this way, the only pattern of church leadership given in the New Testament is that. You can look everywhere. We don't have time to go to go the benefits or whatever. First of all, it's Church of Jesus Christ. He built his church. So we don't tell him how to run it. So I'm saying. But the other thing is, I say that different time, but not everybody agree with that. In ministry, I suffered so much, and I endured some pain. And when finally my eyes were open on why, I realized I was afflicting all those pain onto myself. And I think that Moses had the same thing until he realized that. Until God tells him, okay, get the elders and I will take out from your spirit, I'll put from that spirit to them so they can help you bury the burden. And Moses was bearing the burden by himself. This thing was tough on him until his father-in-law came. But for the New Testament, there is nowhere in Scripture you find one local assembly rule by either majority opinion. It's not like, okay, let's vote and let's have an opinion. Or by a single pastor. They always have elders. Just quickly, write them down. I'm not going to read them. Apostle Paul left Titus in Crete and instructed him to appoint elders in every city. In every city, Titus 1:5. And James instructed his readers in his book to call the elders of the church to pray for those who are sick. Call the elders. James 5:14. And Paul and Barnabas appointed elders to different cities. Verse Acts chapter 14, 21 to 23. But when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And we find Paul's first epistle to apostle. The apostle referred to the elder who rule well. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So there are some who labor in word and doctrine. There are some who labor in administration. Every type, but they were all elders. And of course, we just read Paul addressed the elders of Ephesus. And we find in Jerusalem, even when the apostles were there. Because remember, the channel God used to use before was Israel. He used to use them so he can reach the world as a chosen nation. Of course, we know Israel was unfaithful. And even back then, if you go, they still had elders. So now, in the new age we have now, the New Testament, we can say the church replaced Israel. The church is the one to find, to channel the gospel to get people saved. So, in the Old Testament, the elders were making sure things were being done according to Moses' law. Now, the church replaced that. But we do have Jesus. He came to, that's the only institution Jesus established while on earth, the church. Before he left the apostles to establish that. And the apostles, before they're gone, they make sure they left the elders to take care of that. So that's why even in Jerusalem, even though the apostles were still alive, they still had the elders. And you see in Acts chapter 11, 27 to 30, that prophets came from Jerusalem. When verse 27, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem into Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwell in Judea, which also they did, and sent that to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. They sent it to the elders, and the apostles were still alive. Acts chapter 15, we all know the story. 1-4, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto the older brethren. Verse 4, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and all the apostles and elders, and they declare all things to God that God has done with them. Every place in the New Testament. Everywhere in the New Testament where you see the word elder is used, it's always used in plural. Always. There are only two exceptions. It's only when John, in 2 John 1:1 and 3 John 1:1, where he said, he was talking about himself, that I as an elder. Like John was an elder, so he say, I an elder. But when it's come to the church, it's always elders, including the pastors, the bishop. And there is the other exception is we just read 1 Peter 5, where Peter said, I also your fellow elder. Other than that, everything. So we have the congregation. Though everybody can fit in here and there, but the Lord, Acts chapter 20, he has overseers. He has the elders he put over his church that he bought with his own blood to feed the flock of God. Paul called the elders. He says, be careful, watch unto yourself and unto the church which the Holy Ghost place you as overseer to feed, to shepherd the flock. So not everybody can feed as far as calling. They are specific. I'm glad it wasn't just Mimi and her friend this morning. They would fill themselves with marshmallow. And that's what happened. When you leave the church to be fed by anyone, anybody, that's what you get. You don't get a good diet on spiritual people. The elders are ordained for that. Now, like we do in Haiti, we have what we call almost fellowship here, but we call them station. Okay? You have the elders in the church, but every week, weekdays, what you would call community group, but there is one person who definitely, you know, feed them and whatever, but the church as a whole is fed by the elders. Okay? So it may be that each elder in the city had an individual group in which he had specific oversight. But it's not like a pastor of the group. We are called to shepherd, to pastor. And we find in Philippians chapter 1, 2, where Paul and Timothy, the servant of Jesus Christ, there were to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are in Philippi, he says, with the bishop and deacons. And in Hebrews 13, 17, we find that he says, obey them that have the rule over you. He's writing to one specific church. And this them is those who have the rule over them to be submission, to submit ourselves, because their watch for your souls are as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy. There, always plural, always. So, when I am hungry, when the congregation, individually, we have problem, you know the mentality is, pastor isn't mine. It's everywhere. The pastor isn't mine, and pastor. Can be a very heavy burden. Not just that. I don't know if you know division in church, problem. Sometimes you have the right man lead wrongly. Or sometimes you have the wrong man in leadership. I've lived it all. I have seen churches like, we don't have old people Haitian here, but the one of the mega church in Haiti we had, he was on radio, Pastor, everybody, actually, if you don't go to that church, you are old fashioned. You have to go. He always speaks, preach in French. And wherever you are, if you come to Port-au-Prince, you have to go to that church. And the man died, the church died with him. I don't remember this pastor's name, but you all know him, should know him, in Florida. His huge church. He was on radio and television in US 1 there. This church is still there. Actually, I love listening to him. He taught well. Pastor? No. Is it Charles Stanley? No? Who? No. So he passed. He passed, and the church. Yeah, because it was one man thing. One man thing. But if you have, with the right way, Jesus left the apostles. The apostles established the eldership. And Paul wasn't going to see them. He said, guys, be careful. I gave you everything I knew. It's up to you now. And I wash my hands. It's on you. And I'm sure they will continue it. And I'm a living testimony. Living Haiti. That's the way we will in Haiti. If it was me, there wouldn't be Haiti right now. It would be gone. But you establish the eldership. That one preaching pastor is in lead, but he is not the man. So the answer for the question is the elders are to feed the sheep, clearly. I will beg you once again to ask questions, to debate, because we want to be biblical. Biblical. Don't think you will offend me if I am wrong. You wouldn't want me to say 200 teeth we were born with. You wouldn't want me to say, you know, now because of sin, we end up having just 32 teeth. And as we continue to sin, if we want to die with any teeth, we'll have to buy the fake ones to put on. If you think I'm wrong in this, let's discuss that. But if you think the Bible is right with this, let's do it right and let's be fed